We come today to think about Christmas characters, and we're thinking about Joseph, who is one of the most important characters in the Christmas story. I wonder, what is the biggest challenge that you have faced? I wonder, ask this particularly the boys and girls, what's the biggest challenge that you have faced? Is it indeed maybe school exams? Is it maybe the transfer test? Maybe it's a big sporting occasion, sports day, a football match? Is it a music exam? Some challenge that you saw ahead of you, but you just thought, oh, this is going to be hard. This is going to be tough. But we're thinking today about the challenge that Joseph had, and about he was facing the challenge to be the father to Jesus. And what an amazing challenge that is for Joseph, facing that task of being the father to the Son of God. And Joseph, at this stage, he was only about 18 years of age. It's predicted he was about that age. We reckon Mary is maybe about 13, 14. He was 18, and he had this challenge. I want to share some words from a song by a man called Michael Carrick. And this is a lovely song called Joseph's Song, and this is what he says. How could it be this baby in my arms, sleeping now so peacefully? The Son of God, the angel said. How could it be? Lord, I know he's not my own, not of my flesh, not of my bone. Still, Father, let this baby be the son of my love. Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father to the Son of God? Lord, for all my life I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can I raise a king? What a task. I know being a parent, and I still have memories of that first time we brought our eldest home, and that first night of absolute fear, wondering is she still breathing, and checking again, is she still alive? And the challenge of being a parent is quite a great challenge. In those early days, and indeed as life goes on, it's a great challenge. But how do you be a parent to God's Son? How do you be a parent to one who is divine? Let's consider some of the key elements that made Joseph suitable for this task. And some things we want to pull out of these passages. First of all, we see that he was righteous before God. Chapter 1 there in verse 19 of Matthew says that he was just or righteous, a righteous man. Now, righteous can mean two things. It's about being right. And first of all, it can mean about being right in God's eyes through faith. It's about where we stand with God. When we come and trust in the Lord as our Savior, we trust in Him and embrace Him as our King, then we come into our right standing with God. We are in a right relationship with God through that. Secondly, it can mean living in a right manner in God's eyes, our conduct. This means living according to God's truth, His commands, and not according to our own ideas. So righteousness means a right standing with God through faith. That happens when someone becomes a Christian. It also means living in a right way before God. Righteous living, it's that as well. Now, we have encountered this term righteous before in describing Zechariah and Elizabeth, John the Baptist's parents. They were described as being righteous with the Lord as well. God uses those who are righteous. Now, God can use anyone, and indeed we see in the Bible, at times God uses the worst of rogues. But God particularly delights in using those who are righteous. That's true of Elizabeth, of Zechariah. It's true of Joseph here. He was a righteous man. He was right with God. He had a right standing with God. He was trusting in the Lord and seeking to live for the glory and honor of God. This was also true in the Bible of Noah. In the days of Noah, there was such wickedness in the world, and Noah was described as one who was righteous. That's meant he was trusting in the Lord and had a right standing and was seeking to live in a right way before the Lord. Now, we need to be careful here. We don't have to be righteous to come to Jesus for salvation. In fact, the opposite is the case. We have the burden of our sin, we come with our sin, and we come to Jesus that way. Just as I am, the hymn puts it. We come to Jesus with our sin. We don't have to try and make ourselves good to come to Jesus for salvation. We come to Jesus in order for him to make us good, in order for him to make us righteous, to have a right standing, and to give us the grace to live a right life. So don't hold back from becoming a Christian and say, well, I couldn't do that. I couldn't keep it up. I couldn't be good enough. Becoming a Christian is for those who know they're not good enough. It's for those who know they're not strong enough to live for Jesus. So you come as you are. You come with your sin. You come with your faults. You come with your failings. And you bring them to Jesus with a desire for him to deal with those and for him to change you. So you don't have to be righteous in order to become a Christian. You become a Christian and become righteous through that, through Jesus. But when it comes to then being used by God as a Christian, we can only expect this if we are righteous in how we live. It's not great ability that the Lord is looking for in serving him, but great likeness to Christ. That's the key thing. We need to be clean instruments. We need to be those who are not harboring sin in our lives. We need to be those who repent of our sin. We need to be those who are serious about living for Jesus. The word pure means being single-minded. The opposite of being pure is being double-minded, being distracted. Being pure in Christ so Christ will use us is being focused, single-minded, with a determination to know him, to love him, and to glorify him. So Joseph, this man who was going to be used to be the father to the Son of God, he was a righteous man, right in his standing, through trusting in the Lord, right in his living by God's grace. The second thing we see about Joseph was that he was a man who was in touch with God. Joseph is spoken to by God in a dream when he knows that Mary was pregnant. It's chapter 1 and verse 20. Read, but as he considered these things, behold, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. God was calling Joseph to be faithful to Mary and to the child that she was carrying. This was a big challenge to him, but God was speaking to him, calling him to do this. God also spoke to Joseph after Jesus was born and Herod was planning to kill Jesus and all the babies around Bethlehem. Herod was an evil man. We'll think of him, God willing, on Sunday night. And God spoke to Joseph again to warn him. Joseph was used because he was in touch with God. He was in a living relationship with God. God was not someone distant to him. God was very real in his life. God was speaking to him. He was in a relationship with God. Joseph was used because of that living relationship. And a good example of what that living relationship with God means is the story of the two men on the road to Emmaus, the night when Jesus rose from the dead. We think of how, indeed, that Jesus drew alongside them. They didn't recognize Jesus. And Jesus opened up to them what the scriptures were saying concerning himself. And that's what our relationship with Jesus should be like. Now, we don't hear an audible voice. We don't see Jesus. But as we read his word, as we study his word, Jesus, through the Spirit, comes alongside us. He leads us. He guides us in that truth. He directs us what way to go from that truth. That's what it means to have a living relationship. And Jesus, through his word, speaks to us as real as if he was sitting in the room beside us. But he is in the room beside us through his Holy Spirit. I think another example of this living relationship is Paul in Corinth. He was going through a challenging time there. And in Acts chapter 18 and verse 9, we read these words. And the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, "Do not be afraid, but go on speaking, and do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack you to harm you. For I have many people in this city who are my people." And he stayed a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. He's encouraged to persevere because God drew alongside him to speak to him. Are you in touch with God? Are you aware of God speaking to you? Yes, or sometimes we'll read the scriptures and it'll be hard going, and at times it just seems that God is distant. But it should be our experience, if we are truly Christians, if we're truly trusting in Jesus as Savior and Lord, as we read his word, that he's alive to us. The word comes alive to us. And there's something just so peaceful. It's almost like Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus when he taught her, as we read his word, just the sense of sitting at the feet of the Savior and him leading us and speaking to us. Is God speaking to you? Do you experience that in your life day by day? Do we experience that as we come together? We need a humble heart. We need a humble attitude for this to be real. We need the example here of Samuel. Do you remember Samuel as a young boy? He was with Eli in the temple. And these are the days when there weren't many visions. God had stopped speaking to people because of the sin of the people. And God spoke to Samuel. And remember what Samuel was told to say? "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." That's the attitude we need to have, a humble attitude that he is the Lord. We're his servant. We want to listen. We want to hear his truth. We want to act in that truth. And it's because Samuel, once he heard the voice of God, he obeyed the voice of God, God continued to speak to him. And through Samuel, God's word came to all of Israel. The wonderful thing is, in many ways, Samuel is a picture of Jesus. It is Jesus who said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And Jesus came to be that great prophet. And because Jesus listened and obeyed, his word has come to all Israel, and his word continues to come to us today. He's the great prophet who brings us that word. But we need that humble attitude of listening and obeying. So Joseph was used as he was a righteous man. He was used because he was in touch with God. And thirdly, he was obedient to God. When Joseph was commanded to take Mary as his wife, he obeyed. In chapter 1 and verse 24 of Matthew, says, when Jesus woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife. This was a very brave thing to do. This would have brought Joseph an amazing amount of ridicule. Joseph would have been accused of immorality because of this decision. In following God's command, he had a high price to pay. He was a righteous man. He's a man who wanted to do what was right. He's a man who wanted to be seen to do what was right. But by taking this stand for Mary and for Jesus, in doing what the Lord has commanded him, he was perfectly righteous, but others wouldn't have seen it that way. He would have faced a lot of ridicule. And we need to be aware that in following God's commands today, there can be a very high price to pay in regards to our reputation. People will scorn us. People will make fun of us. People will mock us. People will indeed give us the cold shoulder if we're going to take a stand for Jesus. But when you go into the classroom, when you go into the factory, you go into the shop, you go into the office, when you go into your members, the homes of your family members, this is a challenge for us to stand for Jesus, to be faithful to Jesus. And that means at times doing things which others will not understand, will not accept, will not like. I love the story of W.P. Nicholson and the Salvation Army. The Salvation Army, you know, they're involved in doing outreach and a lot of different work for the Lord. W.P. Nicholson, if you know the story of Nicholson, he was a sailor. He was a man whose tongue was so foul that it even made the sailors blush. And then, through his mother's prayer, he was gloriously converted and came to trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord. And when he came to trust in Jesus, he lived in Bangor, County Down, and when he trusted in Jesus, he felt the Lord was saying to him, "On Saturday, I want you to go and stand with the Salvation Army as they witness for Christ." And Nicholson knew that many of his family, many of his friends would be there. It would be market day. And he knew that the Salvation Army were often ridiculed and mocked as they stood. But Nicholson went, and he stood with the Salvation Army, and he entered into it fully. Nicholson would later say about that, he says, "When the Lord saved me, he saved me from public opinion." And if you know the story of Nicholson, the type of preacher he was and some of the things he did, he didn't really care what people thought. He cared what the Lord thought. And we need that mindset. We need that courage. We need that bravery to take a stand for Christ and to say things which at times will be uncomfortable for others. Of course, say it graciously, lovingly, and wisely. But to be faithful to our Savior. Particularly in these days, in the whole area of morality, which goes, the world's idea of morality is totally alien to God's idea of morality. These are days we can't compromise. These are days we have to teach the truth, and teach the truth of a Savior who loves sinners and wants them to come to Him in repentance. When Joseph had been warned about Herod's plan then to kill Jesus, Joseph then obeyed immediately and went to Egypt. Chapter 2 there, and beginning at verse 13, speaks about that incident. That was another tremendous task for him to do. He had never been in Egypt. He would have known very little about Egypt. It wasn't the days of communication like we have today. Joseph, you remember, lived in northern Israel, almost as far away from Egypt as you could get. And here he's going to these people he doesn't know, among a language he doesn't know. But he's obeying God. He's obeying God's command. And when we follow the Lord's commands, He can take us down very uncertain roads. Uncertain roads from our point of view, but not from His point of view. Think of the story of Abraham. Abraham leaving Ur of the Chaldees, his homeland, which today is the country of Iraq. Again, to travel to a land he didn't know, he wasn't even told where he was going to. He was to go to a land that the Lord said, "I will show you." So he didn't know where he was going. This is a great example of childlike faith, of not knowing how everything will be worked out, but trusting that the Lord will be able to do that. Now, following Jesus means much of life can be uncertain in the paths that we take. But the most important thing is that when we follow Jesus, He has promised always to be with us and never to forsake us. The very last words of Matthew's gospel: "I will never leave you nor forsake you." What a wonderful thought that is. What a wonderful encouragement to take the step of faith, to step out and to go against the world, to do what was right, to go the path the Lord is calling us to go. To know that He is with us every step of the way. So what have we learned about Joseph, this man used by God to care for his son? Let's remind ourselves of these three things. He was righteous before God. He was trusting in the Lord for salvation and living in a right manner. He was in touch with God. He had that living relationship. And he was obedient to God. He followed the Lord's commands. How do we be like Joseph? How do we be a man like him? There's the answer. And it's all achieved through the grace of Christ. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, grant that those three things would be real in our lives, that we would be righteous before you, O God, that we would be trusting in Jesus as our Savior, as our Lord, that we would be living in a right manner before you. Father, we see in the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth and Joseph that those are the people you delight to use. And Father, if there's sin, if there's unrighteousness in our lives, Father, point it out to us in a fresh way even now. And Father, grant that indeed we would repent of that sin and embrace Jesus and embrace the path that he would call us to walk. Father, grant that we would be in touch with you. Grant that we would have a real living relationship with you at this time. Father, through the power of your Spirit, may our Bible reading and our times of prayer with you be alive. May we know that God is speaking. And in response to your voice, may we be a people of faith. Be like Joseph, who took a stand for Christ, even though he would have much ridicule. Be like Joseph and go down a path and a journey he wouldn't know where he would go or what would happen, but knowing that you would be with him. For such grace, O God, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen.